Psalms 23. And on this week, we, of course, were honored to be a part of the celebration of the homegoing of Ms. Gertrude Holland. And you remember to pray for that family, pray for Barbara and her family and the homegoing of her dad. But always I read Psalms 23. It never grows old. I think I told you one time I was carrying such a heavy load and I'd been praying about some things and I knelt to pray and nothing wouldn't come out. I mean, I just couldn't pray. All I could do just be just wiped out before the Lord, I guess you'd say. And all of a sudden, the Lord's Prayer came to my mind. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it was like an old friend. The Holy Ghost of God brought to my mind that prayer that we recite and say over and over again. And it blessed my heart. And that great passage of Scripture entails everything of your life, all of your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and so on. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, and so on. It encompasses all of life. And so this psalm, Psalms 23, is the same way. It kind of covers us from the cradle to the grave, but beyond the grave. And as we are thinking, this is a very special day. I knew we were going to be dedicating Nate today. And then Brother Brad has concluded and they finished up the True Love Wait program that teaches and that young people make a commitment to Christ to remain pure, sexually pure until they're married. And tonight we'll just have our regular service and then a very small personal service for just those families tonight back in the back. But you remember them in prayer. But I just felt that emphasis. So I'm not dealing with the wounds that nobody sees this morning. I'll pick back up on that with a subject that is so prevalent in our society, and that is depression. And so the next Sunday, I'll begin back on our series on wounds that nobody sees, and I want to deal with that subject and probably for a couple of messages dealing with the subject of depression. But now Psalms 23, and I'm mindful of the time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now for this wonderful passage of Scriptures that you gave us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts now. I pray, Lord Jesus, that God, that you'd make it real. Give me just exactly what I ought to say. I pray, God, that you'd give grace and mercy to every person here. I pray, Father, that, Lord, if there's a lost person in the building, that God, the Holy Spirit, would speak to them and draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And I pray, our Father, for our vast radio audience, for our great international internet audience. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would minister to those who listen to us perhaps around the world. And I pray, God, right now, that God, that you'd speak to hearts. For every dear saint of God, I pray, our Father, that every burden would be lifted. Our Father, that we'd be clean before you. And God, that we'd do what you'd have us to do. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just talk about this psalm that we've talked so many times about. It's inexhaustible. It's like a fine diamond. It has many facets to it. You can look at it from every kind of angle in the world and never exhaust the great truth that's in this one psalm. But as I thought about young people, and I thank the Lord, I used to think that somebody that was 60 years old ought to be in the nursing home. And my grandchildren probably still think that way. But here I am now 67. I know that, like Brother Don Harrell says, my mind makes promises my body can't keep, but I'm glad to be here. And this morning I was watching Dr. Charles Stanley a little bit on television this morning, and he made reference to the fact that he, at that time of the taping of that, he was 81 years old, still preaching, still pastoring. I listened to a cassette tape this past week of Dr. W.A. Criswell, who is in heaven now, but he was pastor for many years. I'm something like 50-something years, First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. And at the time of the taping of that cassette tape, he was 85 years old and still pastoring the church. So I thank God I've got a little while, the Lord let me, and y'all let me, to pastor. I thank the Lord for that. But, you know, I'm thinking today about not old people, but all people. I'm thinking about from the cradle to the grave. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs some help. And as Brad has poured his heart into our young people, and Tim and Wendy and all of our WANA workers give their lives to young people back there, it's our desire that they love God and live for God. And here in this passage of Scripture, you see the life of David. Now, everybody knows David had some bumps in the road. David had some problems, and you're going to have some problems. But it's my desire to see all of our young people live for the Lord Jesus Christ and have a joyous, happy life. I want you to understand this. God did not create us to be a bunch of just dead, dry, stiff people that don't have any fun. I believe saved people have more fun than anybody else. I believe saved people have more joy than anybody else. The wages of sin is death. And the Word of God warns us about the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I've lived a little while, and I've watched it. I've watched over the years those young people who would stay faithful to God, walk with God. They had problems. They had little bumps in the road. They were not always faithful, just like I've not always been faithful. But their heart was set on the Lord. They wanted to do what God wanted to do, and they would try to be faithful to Him. I watched them as they grow. And as they mature, and as they have families, and as they are blessed, and they get stay involved in church, by and large, they have a joy and a happiness in their life. But I've seen some who've listened to the devil, and as a young teenager, they began to get out into the world, and they began to experiment and try everything in the world. They think that's going to make them happy, thinks that make them part of the crowd, thinks that's going to just give them what they want, satisfy them. And it always ends up in ruin. They end up broken. They end up with a broken body. They never reach their potential for Christ. They seem like they always, from one disaster to another, never have any joy, never have any peace. And it looks like you could just back off and look at it from a perspective and see that from the cradle to the grave, that it's worth it to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's beneficial. It's a great joy for you to honor God. If you want to have peace, He said, I give to you my peace. He said, if you want to have joy, He said, I give to you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said, I give to you health and all those things. God has promised to do that. God has promised to bless the children of God. Look at this psalm. It's a familiar psalm. And I'll just share a few things with you this morning. And with a special emphasis and trying to challenge our young people in this regard. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, I don't mean you don't have any desires, because I know this, and you know this. Our kids and our grandkids anymore used to, you get the Sizzle Roebuck catalog, and I'd turn the pages of that. And if you've never had the privilege of turning the pages of a brand new Sizzle Roebuck catalog, you've never been blessed. I mean, I'd go over there, I'd skip over all the clothes. Who wants clothes for Christmas? I'd skip over all everything in there, and I'd go right to the toy section. And boy, it was a good one. I mean, it had real toys in it. I remember looking in there one time, and I loved to be the cowboy stuff. And I looked, and boy, listen, they had real leather, and Dane probably got some now, but they had real leather chaps. I mean, and they were the tan looking leather. I can see it right now. And it had the cowhide on it. It had little white and a little tan cowhide patches on it, and the leather chaps, and had two pearl handled pistols went with it. I'm telling you right now, that was a blessing. And I looked at that thing, I looked through that, and I wanted that. Oh, I wanted that so bad. And then I turned the page. And then I turned the page, and there was, listen, it was a Lashley Rue. I mean, it was a whip in there, but it had old Lashley Rue in there on his horse and had that in there. And man, I said, man, that's what I want right there. I want that. And I turned the page, and there was Roy Rogers. I mean, Roy Rogers and Trigger. And that white hat, and boy, listen, and that little bandana. I want me one of them little red bandanas. And that hat, I want to be, that's what I want. Every time I turned the page, I wanted something different. Now they don't have catalogs like we used to, not that type in a hat. They go on the internet. And so now what they used to, we'd ask them, you know, what you want for, you know, da, da, da. But now you don't have to worry about it. Now they print out computer printouts, 3 or 4 pages of it, and this is what I'd like to have for my birthday over here. All this stuff. And it's all, I'm not talking about that kind of want. But listen, I promise you this. If you'll live for God, if you'll trust God, He leads you through the path of provision. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The other night, Tracy sang a song, and I thought about contacting Tracy, and I got to orchestrate all the music. It was wonderful. Thank you, everybody who sang the choir and all the specials this morning. But she sang a song the other night about the shepherd. And I almost called her about Friday and asked her if she could sing that. I knew that Brad always works everything in, and it was a wonderful song. But boy, God spoke to my heart, and it talked about the shepherd bringing us back, bringing us back. And I got to thinking about my whole life. You don't need him to bring you back once. You need to bring, he needs to bring you back over and over from the cradle to the grave. He's our shepherd. He will never leave us. And he's a God of provision. He said, the Lord's my shepherd. I won't. That means I won't have any needs that will not be supplied. I'll not want anything. I'll not be lacking anything. And I'll tell you, young people and old people too, the Lord is our source and he's our supply. It's not the government. It's not anything else. God will lead you, and you ought to get a good education, and you ought to ask God to lead you in your profession or whatever it is, and he'll meet all of your needs. And he's promised you this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want any good thing. I shall not be lacking anything I need. And if you listen, you say, I want this and I want that. Whatever honors God and whatever you need, he's promised you, you honor him and serve him. I know people right now that can't put gas in their car. I know people right now that can't, they're depending on somebody living for God to buy their groceries. You watch it. And I don't mean that God's people don't go through hard times. I don't mean, and I've been there. And when my wife and I were in Chattanooga, Tennessee, going to Tennessee Temple School, I worked at Standa Kutcher and Thatcher, which is a dye house over in Rossville, Georgia. I worked third shift over there, went to school all day. But there were times we didn't have any money. And I when I had time, I'd walk down the back alley and I'd pick up bottles and stuff like that. I'd go to the store and sell them and buy the kids some milk or do something. I've been through all of that. But I'll tell you one thing, God provided. God always took care of me. And God's blessed us. And young people, I'm going to just tell you this. If you'll honor God, if you'll live for God, he'll meet every need you've got. You can trust him. You can trust him. He'll lead you in the path of provision. But now notice something else. He said this in verse number 3. He making me lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside the still waters. I love to walk. I don't do it like I ought to. I was thinking a while ago, that thing over there, I get my exercise on Sunday. I walk back and forth. But I love to walk. I don't want to walk on a treadmill. And I was talking to somebody about that the other day, and they was talking about their treadmill and watch the news for 30 minutes, and they walk, and it's good. And that's a good thing. But boy, I like to get outside. And I like to walk in the woods. I like to walk trails in the wood. And Charles has got a long trail he's worked hard on, he and some of the guys. And I like to walk in the woods. And it just does something for me. Well, I was looking the other day, and they had this doctor on television, and he was talking about things you do to reduce stress. Do you know that one of the best things you can do to reduce stress is to take a walk in a forest somewhere, in the woods somewhere? Isn't it amazing how God coordinated all the colors, how he made everything like that? And you know, one of the most peaceful things in the world is to be beside a running stream of water. I mean, if you can be there in that place. When we went to Germany in 1994 and preached over there in Germany, they have in Germany what they call Kurtowns. And what they are is they're towns where you go to recuperate, revive. And they have in the working society there in Germany, if you get stressed, you get wore out, and these corporations and companies have physicians there, they say, you need to take a little break. And so they send them to what's called a Kurtown. And they go there, and they got orchestras playing in the little thing there in the middle of the town. But they have this place, and some of you may have been over there, but it's always a body of water or stream or something. And I don't know what it is, but it's as big as this wall or bigger. And there's water that just runs down through that. And it's like an aromatic type odor that comes through that. It's like a little breeze coming through there. And they got these benches, and you just sit there, and that water's cascading over that, and it's just such a nice, cool, refreshing breeze. I'm going to tell you, I got cool. I think that's where the word cool came from. I just, it was just so relaxed and peaceful. He leads you not only to the path of provision, but he'll lead you in the path of peace. This is a troubled world. Teenagers by the thousands are killing themselves. Why? Oh, they got everything you can ever imagine materially. They got everything going on for them, every opportunity, all the possession you could ever imagine. But inside, there's no peace. And he said, he leads me beside the still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. And he'll lead you to a place of peace. In times of blessing, there'll be peace. In time of trouble in your life, there can be peace. In times of plenty, there can be peace. In times of poverty, there can be peace. In times of wellness and strength, there's peace. In times of sickness, there's peace. And he'll lead you through that, young people. And you don't have to worry. Listen, he'll give you that peace that passeth all understanding. In a world where there is no peace, in a world where there is no joy, in a world where there just seems to be just a craziness going on, there's peace. The devil offers you everything in the world, but not peace. He'll give you pleasure. He'll give you excitement. He'll give you sensual pleasures. But he cannot give you peace. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he'll give you peace. Not only does he lead you in the path of provision and the path of peace, but notice the next statement. He said this. He said, he leadeth me, in verse 3, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He'll lead you in the path of purity. He'll lead you in the path of purity. Now, that sounds so, you know, way back yonder, that word purity. That's like, you know, way back in the 1800s. That's that Puritan age. We're hip. We got it going on. But what you don't understand is this. There is a real inequality in people's thinking today. I mean, just crazy. For instance, they'll protest the death of a snail darter or a little seal and impair their own life and jeopardize the life of others to save a whale. Now, I love God's creation. You understand what I'm saying? And on the other side, they'll murder millions of babies and vote for it. They're just out of balance, out of kilter. Over here, they want purity in the environment. They want you to eat, you know, good food and want clean water and everything. And I'm for that. I'm for that. But over here, their lifestyle is a life of impurity. It's drugs and sex, mutilation of their own body. Their mind is filled with clutter, all types of pornography, everything you can ever imagine. And while they're promoting purity over here, they're living in impurity here. Now, why do they want purity over here? Because it has something to say about the quality of your life. If you have clean water, water is life. You want clean water. I agree with that. I don't want to drink dirty water. Just in passing, in case you didn't know, Duke Powers had coal residue storage areas for a long time. Not just because we got a Republican governor. We've had it for, you know, 4 years ago. It was there then. I don't know why he said that. Well, here's what I'm saying is this. Here's what I'm saying. They want that water because of the quality of life. They want you to live a healthy lifestyle, a green lifestyle. That's wonderful, and I'm for that. But the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness, purity of heart and life. Because over here, if the water's clean and the air's clean and there's no pollution, it's a blessing, it's refreshing, it gives vitality, it gives health. But over here in the spiritual realm, it's the same way. God doesn't want you to live a pure life so you won't have any fun. God doesn't want you to live a pure life and not be involved in sexual activity before you get married. God doesn't want you to not be an alcoholic or a drug addict or mutilate your body just so you don't have fun. He wants you to live that pure life so there'd be real life and there'd be real peace and real joy and real happiness. He wants you to have the very best. He wants you to have the very best. I can't understand people that drink bottled water and eat grain and then take cocaine. Does that make any sense to you? It's craziness. It's craziness. Because the purity of life is in what goes into it. You are what you eat. You are what you drink. And the same thing's true spiritually. You are what you listen to. You listen to rock music. You listen to carnal country music. You listen to all that stuff. And what's going inside of you is impure. And the result's going to be an impure life. You be involved in sexual activities that outside of marriage. You get involved in all the other things of this world. It defiles your body and defiles your heart and your spirit and your life. And there's no real satisfaction in any of that. And so God doesn't want us to live a pure life so we won't have any fun. He wants us to live a pure life so we can have real joy, so we can have real life, so we can really be blessed. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For His name's sake. He wants us to honor Him. He wants us to be a blessing to others. And He desires for us. If you read very carefully the New Testament, there is a recurring theme in there, and here's what it is. And it's this phrase, for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, when you read that New Testament, you'll find out that everything He did in the New Testament was for us. And the reason He wants to lead you in a path of righteousness is for your own good. You want to be happy? You want to have joy? You want to have peace? Let that good shepherd lead you in a life of purity. It'll be a healthy life. It'll be a holy life. It'll be a happy life. It'll be a helpful life. One that'll honor Him, one that'll be a blessing. I don't have time to finish. But He leads you in a path of promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David had a few bumps in the road, but he believed this. He believed that if he'd live for God, if he'd seek after God, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. And though he failed the Lord never failed him. And though, as Tracy sings, David sometime left his house, but he never left the Lord's heart. And he always loved him and always drew him back. But the promise is this, that when I finish this world, and you will go somewhere, and if you'll live for Him, if you'll trust Him as your personal Savior, the promise is this, you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a joyous thing. What a wonderful thing to be able to do that. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a wonderful statement. I want you to notice this little phrase. And if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the third word of that very first phrase. The Lord is. He is. For all these years, He is. He's constant. He never changes. He is. He's here for you now. He'll be for you with you tomorrow and for all eternity. He is. He is eternal. He's always there. He always wants to help you. He always wants to bless you. I didn't deal with the path of protection. He'll lead you in the path of protection. He is. You don't have to go hunt Him. You won't ever have to try to find Him. He is. He's right here with you. Would you bow your heads this morning in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? The Lord is. I want you to know He's real. He is a Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have a perfect, fulfilled life. The Bible said He created you for His own pleasure, and He has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. Has great pleasure, precious in the eyes of the Lord, of the death of His saints. because he's provided for them and protected them all of their life. He's proved in their life what it means to live a life of purity and walking with Him. Their life has demonstrated to the world that you can be saved and have fun. You can be saved and have joy. You can be saved and have peace. You can have a happy home. You can have wonderful children and grandchildren. You can live out your senior years with joy and peace. You can leave this world with a peace and a smile on your face and be ushered into heaven and be there for all eternity. Your life has been a demonstration of what He can do. And He takes great pleasure, and it's a precious thing in the eyes of the Lord, in the death of the saints, because they are ushered into His presence, brought into His presence. And He's demonstrated to the world what He can do for a boy or girl, a man or woman, who will just trust Him. There's not one person here, young person, that is a Christian, that's saved and they know heaven's their home. If you could amass all the riches of this world and say to them, I'll give you all of this vast wealth, all the riches of the world, if you'll just let me take away your salvation, take away your promise of heaven. Not one of them would take it. You couldn't put a price tag on it. Because the greatest treasure you ever have is knowing Him as your Savior and Lord, knowing that heaven is your home. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes and goes, you know you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a joyous thing. I would believe this morning that there's probably somebody in this building, somebody in the radio audience, internet audience, that doesn't know that. But you can know that. He said, these things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know it. And right now you can trust Him as your Savior and Lord. I would encourage you to do that. Here in the building, in the media audience, wherever you are, the Bible said that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a matter of believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you right now, with all of your heart, turn to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord, I believe You bore my sin on that cross, and I turn from my sin and I turn to You as my Savior. Lord, come in my heart, forgive my sin, save me right now. I accept You now as my Savior and Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and buried my sin on that cross. Thank You that You're alive. And thank You for saving me right now. I want us to stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. I've tried to share with you what the Lord laid on my heart as quickly as I could, considering your time. But what's time in light of eternity, my dear friend? I want to ask you a question. No one's looking at his bowed, his eyes closed. We're going to go in just a second. But are you here this morning and you can say, Brother Billy, the Lord is my shepherd. I know I'm saved. I know heaven's my home. And I thank the Lord for that. Would you raise your hand high in the building as a testimony to Him? I know I'm saved and heaven's my home. Oh, that's a great host of hands. Thank you. You may put them down. There were some who couldn't. Don't know that yet. Am I interested in you being a Baptist? I'm a Baptist. I believe we try to teach and preach the Word of God. But what I'm really interested in is you knowing Him. I'm interested in you knowing you're saved. You say, Brother Bill, I couldn't raise my hand, but I'd sure like to know Him. I'd like to know the Lord is my shepherd. I'd like to know Him as Savior. And Pastor, will you pray for me? And I'd like to indicate that, but just raising my hand. Just raise your hand right back down. I'm not embarrassed. You're not going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. Maybe a visitor or a guest. I'm not going to embarrass you in any kind of way. I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will work in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. God, whatever You choose to do, I'll thank You and praise You. While we have our heads bowed in an attitude of prayer, Brad's going to sing a verse of a song. I invite you this morning, if you're not saved, to come and trust Christ. There's some men who will pray with the men, ladies who will pray with the ladies. If I can help you, I'll do that personally. If you're a Christian here this morning and maybe you have drifted away from your commitment to Christ, you've not been as faithful to Him as you ought to be, maybe you want to come, just bow before Him. Maybe you have a burden or care this morning as a Christian. You'd like to just lay that before the Lord in prayer. Invite Christians to always lead the way. Maybe you've been praying about a church home and you know this is where God would have you to be a member. We invite you to come and transfer your letter or come by statement or by baptism. Just a few moments while folk are coming from all over the building, Brad will sing, will you come right now while others are coming, you join them. If I can help you, I want to do it. God bless you this morning for coming.